And we have the daf. Morning. Today's daf is daf Dalet in Chulin. We are on we're in the bottom of Yom Amud Beis, and we're going to continue. One of the big discussions about Kusi comes up over the course of today, and move on to discuss some other topics in terms of who has the ability to shecht. A lot of Kusi talk today, and a lot of Mummer talk today. So, talk about the people on the fringe. Correct. Remember now the Mishnah, which started our Masechta, was Hakol Shochtin, that everyone could shecht. The Mishnah was very inclusive, very warm and very inclusive. Everyone can shecht Hakol Shochtin. And then the Mishnah went on to say Shechitas and Ksher. It's okay. Shechitas is okay. So we pointed out, spent 2 days discussing this very issue in terms of how to make sense of the Mishnah. The Mishnah first starts off by a very positive statement that everybody can shecht, and then the Mishnah kind of takes a step back and says, not the greatest, but you know, it's okay. It'll be good after the fact. And you'll remember over the past 2 days, so we gave about a half dozen pshatim in the Mishnah, what exactly that Mishnah is. Who is he talking about? Who is the guy who we're very positive about, and then we're kind of like warm and, you know, not so warm and fuzzy about. So one of the explanations that was given was both by Abaye and Rava. Okay, with slight permutations, but Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava both said that a Mishnah was talking about the Kusi. So again, the Kusi is that person who converted to Judaism, kind of not so self-motivated, motivated for their, for the safety of their lives. Lions attacked them, and so they converted to Judaism, but it wasn't such a great conversion. And time and again, the Chachamim argue, it's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amoraim, it just turned into a historical machlokus. Was the conversion a good conversion or not? So Abaye and Rava are both going to assume, you have to say this, that they're going to assume that the conversion was a good conversion, but it's just then the question of, you know, how good is their practice, right? How they're in, but, you know, I guess you could say how firm they are, but that's not a good way to say
committed.
It. Yeah, how committed they are, that's
somebody
a better way to say it.
Converted, 100% kosher, 100% Jewish, and just a half of the time, they don't...
Their commitment level. Yeah, in other words, well, in general, when you convert somebody, I was involved a couple times, and I avoid it. But it's tough. It's very tough. But in general, though, when you convert somebody, you got to make sure that their commitment is 100%. What they do afterwards, obviously, is it's not in your hands. It's slow, huh?
The first year they have to be committed 100%?
First year for the rest of their life.
What? No, I mean, if they're not going to be returning and...
I just say, look, you know, you try your hardest to make sure that they're in 100%, but, you know... So look, it's not up to you. I mean, you know, you do your due diligence, but it's, you know, they're their own people. So with the Kusim, so it's a similar story. In other words, you get them, you know, we got them on board, but, you know, the level of commitment, good. So Abaye and Rava both are saying that our Mishnah is talking about the Kusi. There's just a slight discrepancy between Abaye and Rava, and it's important. Let's just go over this, because it's going to come up again for about half of our daf. Abaye says, this goes back to Gimel Amud Aleph, Abaye says that the Hakol Shochtin is talking about the Kusi, and when is that? That's when he has constant supervision, meaning someone standing over his shoulder and watching the man shecht. Okay? Now, as we explained yesterday, when we did this yesterday, Abaye and Rava both maintained that he's interested in eating kosher, meaning kashrus is not one of his issues in life. He wants to eat kosher, and he only will eat kosher. He won't eat an avela. He won't eat an animal that did not receive a proper shechita. But if the animal happened not to have received the proper shechita, he won't eat it, because he won't, but he'd be more than happy to give it over to you. Right? That's crazy. What about the pasuk of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, right? He's going to help somebody else violate an Isser, and the Gemara explained yesterday, it really was Rashi, but it's clear the Gemara intended this. Yeah, he's going to help us. He's going to help us violate Nisr. That pasuk of Lifnei Iver, they said that don't worry about that pasuk. That pasuk is talking about not putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. I won't do that. I promise I won't do that. But helping and abetting somebody else violate Nisr, that's not a big deal.
Why do you use Lifnei Iver? Why don't you use like Ve'achta L'rachamacha, which is the writer for that principle?
Correct. I love him, but if he wants to eat an avela, by all means, I'll still love him.
No, the thing is,
that's good. Love him. You're giving him treif.
I mean, if you love him, you should feed him like you would feed yourself.
You're right.
That would be like a,
okay. It's a fair.
It's a fair point.
It's a very fair point. Okay, so that's Abaye. So Abaye says that licha tchila, that's when there's constant supervision. And when's the bidyevit according to Abaye? Yotze v'dechnas. Right, when you pop in and out. So if you're popping in and out, so then really he shouldn't shech licha tchila, but bidyevit it would be okay. Okay, that's Abaye's pshat. Rava, basically the same story, but we're going to drop it down one level. The yotze v'dechnas, according to Rava, that's even licha tchila, meaning just you popping in and out at unexpected times is enough to create a fear that, oh boy, I better shech correctly, he may come in any time. That's lechatchila, and bidyeved is when you weren't there at all, meaning you weren't even popping in and out. And afterwards, you learned that he shechted, and remember, what do we have to do at that point in time? You got to cut off a piece of meat and hand it to him and say, here, you eat it. And, right, and if you eat it, then I'll eat it, because I know you won't eat nevela, and I know on the other hand also that you wouldn't mind if I ate nevela, so let me watch you eat it. If you eat it, then, so then that means I can eat it as well. Okay? So that was Abaye and Rava's pshat in the Mishnah. Of which there are another four pshatim in the Mishnah as well, but right now we're going to focus on Abaye and Rava. We're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, and let's start with the Gemara inside. Tana Rabbana, we start with a Braisa. Shechitas Kusi, if a Kusi shechs, so Muteras. So the Braisa says straight out, it is permissible. Now, Bamed Devarim Amorim, but then the Braisa throws in a qualifier. Because she Yisrael Omed Al Gabav, that's only if you have a Jew standing over and watching constantly. Okay, boom, who does that sound like? So that sounds exactly like Abaye. Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. However, if he just comes in and says, ooh, what just happened? Oh, you shechted? Okay, so now let's see. In other words, I didn't watch you, I didn't see you shechts. Okay, so if he give him a cup of piece and hand it to him and let him eat the piece, so so if he eats a piece of his own shechita, so then that means now you know you're good. If he doesn't eat a piece of his own shechita, so that means now you're not good. Okay, Kayot Zebo.
The price itself has got an inherent contradiction.
Perfect. Right? Hold that thought. Perfect. Hold that thought. Kayot Zebo. Let's go on to a similar case. Bryce is pretty much going to repeat the same information, but not in the world of animals, but in the world of birds. Kayotze bo matza bo dekurya shel tziporim. We're on the top of Dal Amud Aleph, and you find Rashi explains dekurya is a string of birds. Right? They used to shech birds, and they used to put on a string together, and it's like a necklace of birds, if you will.
After
you shech, yeah, just great way to carry it around. Tosus says it's a basket. Okay, but anyway, it's a group of birds. So again, so now it's a group of birds, shechted birds, and birds require shechita as well, right? That's its own discussion about birds and shechita. We'll come back to that later on. We'll talk a little bit about it this morning, but just a little bit. So what do you do? So it's the same story. So in other words, here's a string of birds that were shechted by this kusi. So what you do is you cut off the head of one of the birds and you hand it to the kusi. And, you know, some of us on Rosh Hashanah have a minhag of eating sheep head, right? I started that minhag as well. And thanks to a good friend of mine. So, so bird head. So fine. So koteh Rosh Hashanah mehemen asen lo achla motel lechom mishkita sovi ma vasol lechom mishkita so. Good. So it's the same basic story. So if he's ready to eat some of the birds, so that means that the shechita was a good shechita. Now the Gemara is going to point out that Abaye and Rava look at the same brisa and the two of them walk away with actually different conclusions. Basically, for the reason that you pointed out, that the brisa itself is somewhat inherently flawed. Abaye daik mareisha, Rava daik misefa. So look, Abaye, he turns to the first part of the Braisa, and Rava turns to the second part of the Braisa. Abaye daik mareisha, time and Yisrael omed al gabav. Because look, in the first part of the Braisa, when do we say that lichachil it's okay? When there's someone standing over him. Abaye says, perfect. That's when shechitas kusi is going to be okay. Aval yotzev v'nechnas lo. But not yotzev v'nechnas, that's not enough to allow him to shech lichachila. And Rava daik misefa. But Rava, on the other hand, says, okay, but go to the next part of the Braisa. Because what should be the contrast? The contrasting case in the Braisa should be Yotze v'nichnas. That's not the contrasting case of the Braisa. In the second case of the Braisa, Taima deba umatzo sheshachat. That's talking about where there wasn't even Yotze v'nichnas. You just walked in, and you see that he shechted. And there wasn't even Yotze v'nichnas, so there was no mirsus whatsoever. He had no fear whatsoever of someone walking in on him. And that, we said, is bidyevet okay, provided, of course, that he's ready to eat a piece of the meat. Aval Yotze v'nichnas shaper dami. Now, if that means, then, if we go one level above that, meaning no supervision, what's one level above no supervision? Yotze v'nichnas, that's one level above. So Yotze v'nichnas would seem to be okay even lechatchila.
Could you argue that according to Rava, Yotze v'nichnas is the same thing as the guy standing over there watching him? So
okay, good.
That applies to those.
Good. Ula Abaye, perfect. You're in tune with the Gemara. Ula Abaye, Kasha Seifa. So now the Gemara is going to point out. So what is Abaye going to do with the second part of the Braisa, right, that talks about just walking in on him? Or according to Abaye, you would actually need Yotze v'nichnas. That's actually Yotze v'nichnas, meaning what is Yotze v'nichnas? Yotze v'nichnas means you're in and out. You're popping in and out. So it could be that the second case of the Braisa is actually describing Yotze v'nichnas. The Braisa says you walk in on him. What does that mean? It means that you were in and out the whole day. That's the second part of the Braisa. That's at least how Abai is going to understand that part of the Braisa. Good. Now what about Rava? Rava will do the same thing the other way. Well, the Rava kasha reisha, because according to Rava, in order for him to shecht lechatchila, for the kusi to shecht lechatchila, all you need is Yotze v'nechnas. Amalcha Yotze v'nechnas enami ka'omed agabav damo. Yeah, Rava's going to say, you know what? Even though the Braisa says omed agabav, you know what omed agabav means? Yotze v'nechnas. It's the same thing. Think about it in these terms, right? You have an employer. He's not standing over your shoulder the whole time, but he pops in and out, right? The feeling that you have is, oh my gosh, he's on top of me, right? He's standing over my shoulder. That feeling is created through Yotze v'nichnas, and it's okay for the Braisa to express it in terms of Omed al Gabav. He's standing over me. That doesn't literally mean he's standing over me. It means that he's constantly checking in on me. He's popping in and out all times. Good. All right, so we have a Braisa. The Braisa could be read both by Abaye and by Rava, so we leave it as a machlokus, meaning, what is enough supervision in order to allow the kusi to shecht? Do you need Omer Agabav in order for him to shecht lechatchil? That's the opinion of Abaye. Do you need just Yotze v'nichnas? That's the opinion of Rava. We have a Braisa, and the Gemara says both of the Amoraim could read their pshat into the Braisa. Next part, Kayotze ba'amata b'yad d'kur yoshit sepon kotei rosho. Just go up to the next part of the Braisa. Next part of the Braisa basically repeats the same information. It's just in the case of birds and not in the case of animals. So the Gemara actually is perplexed by the second case of the Braisa of the birds. So the Gemara says, look, there's a whole bunch of birds on the string. It's not just one shechita. It is many birds that were shechted. And so the Gemara over here has a simple question, an extraordinarily simple question. Why are we concerned that maybe the one bird that you handed him to test out and see, did you really shecht it? Maybe he shechted that one bird. But maybe he didn't shecht any of the other birds. So Amar Rav Menashe, b'machnis and tachetz kanafav. So Rav Menashe says you play the shell game with him. Right? In other words, well, so what the Gemara now is first proposing, that you took the birds, the shechted birds, they're small birds, by the way, they're not big birds. You took the birds, you put it under your coat, and you plucked out one of the birds. He didn't get to see which bird you plucked out. You handed it to him, and you said, here, try this one. Okay?
So,
V'dilma simana hava yahiv le'begave. So the Gemara says, who knows, maybe this kusi, who maybe he's smarter than you, maybe he knows how to play the shell game better than you do, maybe he marked off which animal he actually shecht, and maybe has a siman. Right, the Gemara and Gemara talks about how sometimes the cut, just the actual cut, the way he cuts it could actually form as a siman. So Amar Mishasha the Mas Musleim Mas Musay. So the Gemara says no, you crushed it up, you ground it up, meaning you didn't give him like a whole piece of the head. You just gave him a little small piece of the meat in.
Right.
Okay, and there's no way of him identifying which one of the birds it was. So good. Now the Gemara comes on to fundamental questions. And some of you were asking me this question yesterday, and I basically intuited the answer. I mean, I learned Chulin a while ago, so I could also account for that as well. But I basically got the answer, but here the Gemara is going to deal with the fundamental questions that you were asking me yesterday. Maybe he holds there's no Shechita Lof Min HaTorah, meaning where in the Torah does it say birds need to be shechted? The correct answer is it doesn't. It doesn't say in the Torah that birds need to be shechted. It says that animals need to be shechted in the Torah. Of course, the Torah doesn't talk about how, but it says animals need to be shechted, birds don't need to be shechted. There is an opinion that we're going to see a couple of times throughout Chulin that ain shechita la'of min haTorah, that birds on a d'oraisa level do not require shechita. Right? In other words, on a d'oraisa level, kill it.
What about Malik? Could they look at the and say...
Yeah, we'll come back. Like that's later. Later on, the Gemara is going to make that...
Because they go by the book. So.
Correct, that suggestion. So, ain't shechita la'of min haTorah. So now, right, and you think to yourself, that's weird, that's strange. What do you mean? You don't shech the bird? And I'll just simply say to you in simple response, well, you don't shech fish. Right? Meaning, no, I mean, right? You don't shech grasshoppers, meaning, okay. So, in other words, there are creatures out there that we're allowed to eat that don't require shechita. And Oph, and you're going to see Gemara's later on that's going to have this discussion. And maybe the shechita of Oph is going to be different. Again, all this comes up later. I don't want to deal with it now head on. But just in terms of basic understanding of the Kusi and his world of halacha. So maybe the Kusi just simply doesn't hold of shechita min haTorah. So the Gemara now, first time we get to see all five in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara is not discussing it, but the Gemara is just simply pointing out. How do we know the five psulei shechita? How do we know that the Kusi holds by that as well? That's not written in the Torah. So we've assumed that when it comes to animals, oh, for that he's going to give it a proper shechita. But even that requires Torah Shebaal Peh. That requires tradition, oral tradition. So it's not like the Kusi rejects the oral tradition. So the Gemara says, Miksivan ella kevin de achziku buhu achziku buhu. Hachinami kevin de achziku achziku. So the Gemara says, look, it's not that they reject the oral tradition. In fact, as long as they're muchzak, as long as there's a presumption that they keep this particular halacha, that's it. There's a chazaka. There's a presumption. And that's true regarding shechting an animal and knowing all five psulei shechita. And it's also true regarding shechting of birds, meaning they also are presumed to shech birds. So once they have the chazaka of shechting birds, so that's it. We assume that they shech birds. Good. Period. So that leads us now to a basic discussion. The Gemara, this is one of the main locations in Shas where the Gemara has it, in terms of basically how committed are Kusim to Yiddishkeit. Meaning, again, first, I guess before we even have this discussion, let's remind each other, there's a basic discussion whether they're Jews or not Jews. Okay, that in of itself is its own separate discussion. But even on the side that they are Jewish and the conversion was a good conversion, how committed are they to Yiddishkeit? So here, the Gemara has this discussion. So the Gemara is really bouncing off, just getting done saying that as long as there's a presumption that they do it, so that's it. They're presumed, they're assumed that they do it. Not every mitzvah, but a host of mitzvahs.
Now, what year were they?
The Kusim started, meaning they came on the scene during the First Temple. First Temple, when Sennacherib, the king of Asher, came in and decimated the 10 northern tribes, so they took out the 10 northern tribes and displaced them throughout the world. We don't know where they are. And they replaced them with these people. These people were from Kusa. Kusa was in Bavel, right? A place is a province of Bavel. And so those are the people now. And they lived in the northern kingdom, and they basically took on Yiddishkeit.
What's the story with the lion?
This is 700 years before the Common Era,
and they
just became part of the fabric of the Jewish people, to the point where the Mishnah and the Amorayim. So you're talking about 700 years before the Common Era. So you're talking about a millennia of living with Kusim.
During the times of the Tanaim,
during the times of the Amorayim, they were clearly there. We have nowadays the people who claim that they are descendants of the Kusim, the Samaritans, who claim that they're the descendants of the Kusim. But
the Samaritans?
This English name.
Yes, Samaritans in Israel.
Samaritans.
Correct.
Those are supposed to be Kusim.
They say that. I'm not scholarly enough to comment one way or another, but that's what they say. That's what I was told.
Samaritan, they are not Kusim.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they claim. Okay. Now, the Ichzuk velo Ichzuk bedalok sivit tanaihi. Now, the Gemara points out this is subject to a major debate amongst the Tanaim. So now we drop back to the period of the Tanaim. The Tanaim are basically going to argue how committed are they to halacha. Now, that's very important to us because, for example, I mean, the Gemara is going to deal with this example. Let's say they make us matzah right before Pesach. Okay? And they sell a little bit cheaper. So, right? So, So can we buy matzah from them? So, Ditanya, matzah's kusi, muteres v'adam yote b'yidei chavatzah b'pesach. So, matzah's kusi, matzah baked by a kusi. So, notice the double language. Muteres, it's permitted. V'adam yote b'yidei chavatzah b'pesach. And you can fulfill your obligation on Pesach. What's with the double language? Because there are two issues. Number one, we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Right? That one we know. Number two is that even the matzah that we eat on Seder night has an extra requirement, meaning aside from the fact that it can't be chametz, in addition to that, it also has to be matzah shmura. Right? We know that. But matzah shmura means more than just I pay a lot of money for it. Matzah shmura means that it was watched and guarded l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Right? When they... I have the great image in my mind of when when I was in Israel for my years in Eretz Yisrael, so I used to watch the Russian women knead the dough, and they kept repeating as a mantra, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. So, and it's do they have any idea of what they're saying? I don't know, but they were told to say it. So anyway, but. Good, so it needs to be l'shem matzah's mitzvah. That has to be for the sake of mitzvah. So, and if not, in other words, if it was not done for the sake of the mitzvah, so then you have not fulfilled your obligation. That's why, I mean, all joking aside, that's why matzah shmura is as expensive as it is, because it has to be made l'shem the mitzvah. Right? And then there's the controversy, the more modern controversy, can machines do it l'shem matzah's mitzvah? That's its own discussion. Rabbi Goldberg spoke about it a couple years ago. Okay. So, V'adam Yitzibach Yedei Chavasa B'Pesach, Rav Elazar, Oser, good. So, number one, we have the opinion of the Tanakhama, which is, it is fine. It is totally acceptable. Rav Elazar, Oser, L'Fishem, B'Kim, B'Dikduk, Mitzvah, Ki Yisrael. So, Rav Elazar says categorically, no. No, they don't know about Dikduk HaMitzvah. They're not meticulous in their performance of the mitzvahs. You can't get matzah from them. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel makes a statement which is vague. Call mitzvah sheikh ziku bakusim harbe medaktikim ba yoster me Yisrael. Look, they don't cover all the mitzvahs, but the ones that they do in fact select, they're careful about those mitzvahs. They're extraordinarily careful about those mitzvahs, and so good. So we have three opinions over here in the Braisa. Tanakama, Rav Elazar, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So now the Gemara is going to go over all these opinions. So the Gemara now is going to make the point that we made just a couple of moments ago. What's with the double language of the Tanakama? I might have thought that they're not expert, they're not proficient in this idea of Shimur, meaning they know how not to make it chametz, but they don't know about this extra requirement of matzah shmura. So Kamash Malan said, no, the Tanakhama is making sure when it says, Adam yotzei bo yidei chavasa bepesach, make sure that we know that they know about shmura. That's number one. Number two, Rebbe Lazar also lefi sheim bikim bedikduke mitzvos. Then the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rav Elazar, and the way that we have it in our Gemara is lo biki b'shimur. They're not careful about shimur. The Rashi immediately points out Rashi, the first long line of the page, lo garcina. These last three words of the Gemara were not gari. So Rashi would like to take it out of the Gemara, because for Rav Elazar, it's more fundamental than just they don't know about matzah shmura, meaning according to Rav Elazar, it's a total lack of.
It's a non-starter.
Right. They don't care about the mitzvah at all. In other words, their matzah isn't necessarily even matzah. It could be even chametz. So Okay, Rashi takes that out of the Gemara. Fine. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Mitzvah Sheachzik Uvakusim Harbe Mendaktikim Ba Yoster MiYisrael. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along and presents to us what seems to be a third opinion, which is, when they choose a mitzvah, they're very careful about that mitzvah. So the Gemara points out there's got to be some shade of difference between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama, but I don't hear it. What's the difference? Hainu Tanakama. The Gemara says, Ika Beinaihu. The Gemara says, no, there is a difference. Diksiva Velalechzikuba. So the Gemara starts off like this. What if it's written in the Torah, but we don't know? We have no empirical knowledge about how they are regarding this particular mitzvah. So Tanakama Savar Kem Diksiva Afagav Delechzikuba. Rav Shem Gamil Savar Iichzik Ini Lo Iichzik Lo. So the Gemara first starts off by suggesting that maybe this is the issue. If it's written in the Torah, so the Tanakama takes the position, well, if it's written in the Torah, they're going to keep to it. Right? Anything in the Torah itself, they're really careful about. And along comes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, says, no, even that by itself is not a criteria. It has to be, it's written in the Torah, and we have empirical knowledge that they in fact keep that particular mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, Kol mitzvah she'achziku bakusim. So the Gemara says, if that's really what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is arguing on, if that's really his position, so the Gemara says, I don't like the wording that is used for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Because he says, kol mitzvah, any mitzvah. But that's not the way we're explaining Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
That kol could include the...
Right, Rabbi Shimon, according to the way we're explaining Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's a further qualification. So the way that it should read is, im hichziku mi ba'elei. It should say, and if they're machzik in it. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, good. The point is such a strong point, we're going to go and revisit our understanding of what's the debate between the Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel. Ika meinayu, the lok siva... So the Gemara says, what they're arguing about is mitzvahs that are not written in the Torah. Right, halacha Moshe Mitzvah. Right, in other words, why do we go through this whole exercise? Because basically it's our very issue. Things that are not written in the Torah. Tanakama Sarva Kevin Dolok Siva Apagav Dechzikuba Namilo. So it's the Tanakama who says, look, if it's not written in the Torah, so you can't assume that they follow that particular mitzvah or that particular halacha. It's just simply not written in the Torah. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Sarva Kevin the Ichzik Ichzik. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, even if it's not written in the Torah, if they're committed and we know that they're committed, so then they enjoy a presumption of being committed. Good. And this is our very discussion that we just got done having, meaning things that are not written in the Torah, as long as we know that the kusim are committed to it, so it is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, which seems to be a bai and rava basically siding with him as well, they can enjoy a presumption of being committed to it. All the halachla moshe mitzina by shechita, right? Shehiya, chalada, ikor, right? All the psule hashechita. And the fact that birds require shechita, that's not Torah shebechsav. All that's Torah shebal peh, and according to Abaye and Rava, and it seems to be that this is also the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, all are of the opinion that kevan shehechziku, hechziku. Once they are presumed to have that kind of commitment, we assume that they are actually committed to those particular mitzvahs. It comes out now that we really, right, this is what we discussed yesterday, but the Gemara's conclusion today is pretty clear. Don't put them in the same camp as the Tzedukim and the Karayim. They're not that. Meaning they're not the, we don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. It's they're categorically they're in a different group. They're in the group of right. The conversion is questionable, and in terms of their commitment to mitzvahs, some mitzvahs they're committed to, some mitzvahs they're not, and it's not based on is it written in the Torah or is it not. It's just a, you know, some of them speak to them, and some mitzvahs do not speak to them. Okay, Gufa, Amarava. Okay, that was
the. So what's the nafkamina then between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon?
So the nafkamina would be, according to the Tanakama, we can't trust their shechita, and we can't, because shechita is all based on Torah Shabbat Peh. Meaning the Torah tells us to shecht, but the Torah doesn't mention anything about the psule hashechita. Right? What disqualifies a shechita? So according to the Tanakama, you can't have them shecht for us.
And Rabbi Shimon
Gamliel says, kevan de ichziku ichziku.
So the Tanakama says has to be that you know they keep it and it's written in the text.
Correct.
And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, just as you know they keep it.
Right. Correct.
Thing.
So, no, Abaye and Rava, it's fair to suggest that, but Abaye and Rava following the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel.
Really?
That's where Lamaisa, it's not going to affect your life and my life nowadays. We don't have that many kusim as neighbors, but yes, in other words, it seems from the way the Gemara presents it, I'm not going to say it definitively, but it seems that the Gemara sides with Rav Shimon Gamliel. At least Abaye and Rava are platformed on the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel.
That if you're in the spot and there's some
Samaritan over there, I mean,
restaurant.
As long as you're Omid Al Gabav, it would work. Okay. I don't know.
It's amazing that article saying that the Putin was a good Sam.
Right.
It's amazing because all along you're saying that the Prushim and so on is different.
They're different. They're not the Tzedukim are different. They're a different group.
I don't know where they get from the art school.
Okay.
It's in the internet too.
Gufa Amar.
Kusian and the good Sam are the same.
They probably got it from art school.
Gufa Amar Rabbi Yisrael Momer Ochel Neveh Sleteav and Bodek Sakim Venosin Lo Mutal Lechom Eshchita So. Okay, page 2 of today and part 2 of today is our Momer discussion. Okay, Momer is different. Momer is a Jew, born a Jew, parents are Jewish, and just again, his level of commitment is lacking. And remember, we talked about it on two levels, meaning we have what we call Momer Leteavon. That's a Momer who is just, you know, he has the Yetzahara and he lets the Yetzahara get the best of him. And there's a Momer Lahachis, which is on a much deeper level, meaning he's got real religious issues with Torah Misinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll violate mitzvahs just Lahachis, just to anger his creator. Okay. He's got issues. So Rava says that if it's a Yisrael Momer Lateyavon, as long as this person is a Momer Lateyavon, he eats Nevela, but you know, simply because he enjoys it and his Yetzer Hara got the best of him. So what you can do, says Rava, is you can give him a knife. You got to check it first, make sure that there's no pegima, there's no nick in the knife. Give him the knife, and you can let him shecht. So the Gemara says, "Good." Lo shavik keter v'achli sor yahachi kilo badek nami. So the Gemara says, "Let's spend some time talking about this halacha of Rava." So the Gemara says, "Check the knife." So the Gemara says, "Why do you have to check the knife?" Meaning, let him check the knife. Kilo badek nami. So the Gemara says, "Mitrach lo tarach." The Gemara says, "No, because you have to understand the nature of this person is that right. If given the choices, and the two choices are equal." And there's no extra effort necessary to do the mitzvah. Yes, he'll do the mitzvah. But once it involves effort, sacrifice, work, okay, so you know, oh, the knife has a nick in it, it's fine. It's fine. We'll check the animal anyway. So Rava says, this is the Gemara explaining Rava, you have to understand the nature of this person. The person, if everything's equal, he'll do the mitzvah. But once it requires effort and energy to expend, so then when the Gemara says that to that degree, we're not going to trust him. So Amalei Rabban LaRava Tanya Demesei Alech. So the Gemara says, now I'm going to quote a brisa that supports this very idea. Okay, now listen carefully to this brisa. This brisa is going to be a little bit tricky. Okay, I would say the only real difficult part of today is coming up right now. Chemsen shall ovrei avera achar Pesach. Okay, you have people who do not want to sell their chametz on Pesach. Now, we of course all know that on Pesach you're not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to benefit from chametz, and you're not allowed to own chametz. Three Eastern by chametz on Pesach. And for some people, right, I don't know that many people like this who are committed to Pesach. Right, some people like, look, I won't eat chametz, I won't benefit from it, but you want me to sell it, right, and get rid. I'm sorry, not sell it. Right, get rid of it. Our minhag nowadays, of course, is that we sell the chametz and then we buy it back after Pesach, and you're never going to find that in the Gemara. Gemara's never going to breathe a word of that. That's a more modern phenomenon.
And they didn't do it back then.
I say modern, by the way. I don't mean 20th century, but post-Gemara phenomenon. So anyway, so chemsen shovrei avera achar Pesach. So these are the people who hold on to their chametz over Pesach. Okay? So, mutter miyad mimnei shehin machlifin. So the Braisa says that you can go over to his house and you can enjoy his chametz after Pesach, Mipnei machlifin, because they do an exchange, they do a swap. Okay, now follow me here, because this is a little bit tricky. Now, first thing we have to know before we really discuss this intelligently is, what's the status of chametz that is chametz avar lava Pesach? Chametz owned by a Jew over Pesach. What's the status? What's the status of it after? After Pesach.
No.
So it is a machlokus between the Tanayim. One Tana is of the opinion that it's aser min haTorah, right? It's not just. It's not just that he violated the Isser of owning chametz on Pesach, but the chametz that he owned is aser min haTorah even after Pesach. Okay, that's one Tana's opinion, and another Tana's opinion is no. Really, after Pesach, it's fine, but the chachamim were kones. The chachamim established a fine, a knas on this individual. You shouldn't have owned it on Pesach. So to fine you and to penalize you, so therefore you cannot enjoy it Achara Pesach. Okay. Now, this person who's an Avaryan, he violated the... In other words, he knowingly held onto his chametz on Pesach. So after Pesach is over, so what is he going to do? I'm not going to hold my chametz after Pesach, because I know it's Aser. What degree of Isser the Gemara is going to discuss. But we know it's Aser. So what I'll do is I'll go over to my non-Jewish neighbor and I'll swap with him. I'll give him my chametz and he'll give me his chametz hand. And look, it's the same. Meaning, his chametz and my chametz, they're both the same. But I'll give him my Aser chametz. I'll take in exchange for that his chametz. And that's it. It'll be a wash. And at least that way, I won't violate the Isser of eating chametz after Pesach. Okay.
Unless you have Pas Yisrael issues.
Okay. Now, that's true. Now, aside from that issue, there is really, in this discussion... thank you. In this discussion, there is a major issue which Rashi deals with, Tosfos deals with, which really you have to consider. Meaning, whatever degree of Isser we're talking about, Asr Midaraisa or Asr Midarabanan, but the Gemara now is basically assuming, well, whatever chametz I'm holding after Pesach, which I owned on Pesach, I'll swap it out for somebody else's chametz. When I say somebody else, I mean a non-Jew's chametz, and it'll be fine. But as Ben accurately points out, but you're benefiting. By you swapping with somebody else, you're benefiting from the chametz that you owned on Pesach. So how did you gain? Look at Rashi on the top of the page. So mipnei shehem achlifen b'shal ovdei kochavim. It's the second Rashi on the page. Dekevin d'matzil lechol ater d'chamish ovdei kochavim shavar alav ha-pesach mutolo achol didei d'chamish yisrael shavar alav ha-pesach aser. In other words, look, we're bringing this Gemara to support Rava. The idea of Rava is, if given the choice and everything else being equal, he'll eat heter and he won't eat iser. So our friend over here, who will hold his chametz over Pesach, but after Pesach will swap out. And that proves Rava's point that a person if all things are equal, will eat heter, not eat iser, our mumer l'teyavon. Now Rashi here makes the point that Ben you made. The alpha gab de hashanami iser hu l'gabe. Now Rashi points out over here, that exchange that he made with his chametz, that's also going to be usher to him. Daha mithane mechamish avar lava Pesach. Because how did that come to him? He swapped it for chamish avar lava Pesach. That chamish avar lava Pesach is usher ba'ana. So any exchange for it is also going to be usher. Di lo di yavle lo v'kocham lo havi yavle di day. The only way the guy gave him his chametz is because he gave the guy his own chametz. Afilo hachi koma demaksi lema'ave be'etera porta aved. So Rashi points out, you're right. In other words, the point is well taken, but at least our friend, our mumer l'teyavon, at least he's not going to be eating the actual chamish avar lava Pesach itself. Okay? Rashi calls it, I'm just going to reemphasize Rashi's language, lema'aved be'etera porta. It's a little more mutter, right?
It's like as though it's a separate issue. Like he's not supposed to get rid of it, but what he actually gets from it
is not
to you because
correct. It's not chametz avar lava Pesach. Ule didan mi asharei. Now, Rashi also makes another point which is extraordinarily important. And Rashi writes, and look, the actual Chamesh Avral of a Pesach is usher to him and to anybody else. Meaning nobody can come over to his house, sit down and eat his Chamesh Avral of a Pesach. But the exchange for the Chamesh Avral of a Pesach, that Chamesh that he exchanged for, is only usher for him. It's not going to be usher for the rest of the community. Miyashari de'ein lecha iser hana'a tofes chalipin. An important concept, an important principle, that isurei hana'a doesn't transfer. Meaning, he can't benefit from the exchange. But the exchange, that which he exchanged for, doesn't take on the full iser hana'a as the principal chametz itself.
But if you're consuming it, isn't he getting hana'a from that also? If you consume it?
I guess if you pay him for it,
right?
Maybe, but I'm just saying. But if there's no iser bechefza, in other words, on the object itself is not aser. Chutz me'avodas kochavim v'hektish v'shvius, there are exceptions where the iser hana transfers to the exchange. Okay, good. So again, two important points that we get out of Rashi. Number one, the exchange that he makes for the chametz is also going to be aser to him. But Rashi simply points out, just simply not as aser. And number two, the iser hana doesn't transfer to the chametz that he exchanged it for. So that means that although he still can't eat it, he will because he's a momer l'teavon. Although he can't eat it, but his friends can come over and his friends can eat it. Okay, now savruha the Gemara. Now makes the following observation. Hamani Rabbi Yehudi Damer Chamesh Achra Pesach Daraisa. Now, this Chamesh Avra Lava Pesach, Asim Adarabon Asim Adaraisa. So again, the Braisa doesn't say, so the Gemara says, let's assume that's Asim and Torah, which is Rabbi Yehuda's position. Veketanimim Neshayim Achlif, and Amalo Shaveketer Vachli Surah. Now, what we see over here is that he swaps out after Pesach because he doesn't want to eat Isur Daraisa. What you see from here is a confirmation of the opinion of Rava. Rava says that if all things are equal, if he can easily swap his Issa Daraisa for something which is not Issa min HaTorah, he'll do so. So the Gemara says, Mimai Damar Rabbi Shimon, he Damar Chametz Achra Pesach Terabanan, V'chi Mekalinan B'Darabanan B'Daraisa La Mekalinan. So the Gemara says, look, you don't have to say that. It could be that this brisa only goes by the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, not by the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's only Asur Midrabanan, not Asur Minatorah. The leniency extended that you can go over to your friend's house, your Mumla Te'avon's house, and enjoy its chametz, it's only a heter because the Isser to begin with is only an Isser Darabanan, not an Isser Daraisa. So the Gemara says, no, it's still going to be good proof. So the Gemara says, even if the Braisa is holding like Rabbi Shimon, it's still excellent proof to Rava. Why? Because the Braisa doesn't say, well, maybe he swapped out. Read the Braisa again. The Braisa says he did swap out. So in other words, the Braisa is further evidence to Rava that as long as it's no skin off his back, as long as it's a fair exchange, he will easily swap out his iser in order to get something that's more mutter. Okay, and the Gemara says, and look, if he's doing this to avoid Isuri Darabanan, he'll for sure do it in order to avoid Isuri Daraisa as well. Okay, good. That part was tricky. That part was a little complicated. Again, let's go back to our basic point. Rava says that when it comes to a mumer l'teavon, check the knife, give it to him, and you can let him shecht. Because everything being equal, he'll rather eat heter than eat iser. Good? And the Gemara presented this braisa that talks about our mumer l'teavon who loves to hold on to his chametz during Pesach, does not want to get rid of it, but after Pesach, he'll swap it out. Okay, so it is proof that Rav is correct. Lema misayele. How about this? Let's look at the following braisa, which seems to support Rava. Anyone can shecht. Again, our inclusive hakol shochtin. It's a braisa. It's not a mishnah. And the braisa says hakol shochtin and the afilu kusi. And who are we? And here the braisa spells out who we included in the in the let him shecht. So the kusi, the arel, the uncircumcised Jew, and I feel you saw mummer, and even our you saw mummer. Now, hi arel hechidami. So first of all, when we say arel, what are we talking about? Ilam amay so achas machmas mila. So don't go with the classic pshat of arel, somebody whose brothers died because of mila, because hi yisrael mal yehu, because his parents didn't give him mila, and his parents did the right thing. Right, brothers 1 and 2 died because of a mila. The halacha is, you have a third child, that third child you do not give a mila to. And he's Yisrael Ma'aliyah. He has, there should be no reason whatsoever that he's even in the discussion of, oh, I didn't know he could shecht. Of course he can shecht. He's a Yisrael Ma'aliyah. Elapshita mumar la'arela. So the Gemara says, you know what it must be? He's a mumar la'arelas. Now it's interesting, right? In other words, he's 8 days old. What does that mean? He's a mumar la'arelas. It means I love painting this picture. His parents were mumar la'arelas, right? Meaning the parents were like, "Oh, we're not going to give our kid a bris, so that's archaic. That's, you know, it's painful. We don't want to do that." And then, right? And then the kid grows up, right? And the kid now understands that he didn't get a mila. But, you know, much like, right, much like a lot of your attitudes are gotten from your parents, so a lot of your attitudes and mitzvahs are also gotten from your parents as well. So this kid over here says, you know, my parents didn't believe in mila, I also don't believe in mila. And, right, not because I have any religious issues, but well, I don't want to go through the trouble. Okay, fine, so he's a mumar la'arela. So, because of her mumar la'davar echa lo have mumar la'chola Torah kula. Now, just because, right, and look, it's a huge sacrifice, right? A young man who didn't get him, whose parents didn't give him mila, and he's, you know, a little queasy about it. Mumar l'davar echad, does that make him a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula? So the Gemara says, no. It's just on one issue, and you know, I don't want to justify it because the right thing to do, of course, is to get a mila. But you can almost understand his reluctance, but
we're
he does.
Glad we don't have that.
Right. In other words, right. We're all correct. Very well put. We're all thankful that we don't have that test in life. But nevertheless, though, it doesn't make him a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula. Good. So what we've established is our arel is somebody whose parents didn't give him a mila, and he not for any real religious reasons, but just simply because it's painful. I don't want to. I'm not going to get a mila. Good. So he's what we're going to call a mumar l'davar echad. For one mitzvah in the Torah, he's not complying. That doesn't make him a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula. Good. Now let's go on to the next part of the brisa. Ima seifa. The afilu yisrael mumar. So then the brisa talks about a yisrael mumar. Who's that? Who's that talking about? So hechidami im mumar l'davar echad hainu mumar la'arelos. So what do you want to tell me? That he's a mumar l'davar echad. So that covered, right? That we have our uncircumcised friend. Alav mumar l'oso davar. So it must be the price has got to begin giving us a bigger chiddush, which is, you know what? He's a mumar.
He
eats nevela, right? Goes to McDonald's, goes to Burger King. He eats nevela. That's his challenge in life. And uchid derava. And the point must be that even though this person eats nevela, you can go ahead, check the knife first, hand it to him, and let him shecht. And this would be supportive of Rava. By the way, just to make sure that we understand what we're talking about, it's really unbelievable. Imagine this. Imagine, right? You know, we have so many controversies popping up now and then. It comes to a point where you just, you know, just stop listening. So, but imagine that in the Schlach House, right? Imagine the following report coming out. You know, our shochets, you know, not our shochets, they're not going to report it, but shochets of such and such a slaughterhouse, they go out to McDonald's after their day is over. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, that's the mumar la'ochel nevelos. So the Gemara says, and believe it or not, what we're discussing is, according to Rava, you got to check the knife because too much trouble for him, but check the knife and you can let him shecht. Okay, I can't imagine that hashkacha would be so popular, but
if it's cheaper.
Right. But I'm just saying, but that's the discussion we're having, just to make sure everyone is understanding. So that's what we, and it seems from the Braisa that that's what we're supporting. We're supporting this position of Rava. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam, ha'im lecha, mumar la'oso davar, la'oso davar lo. My time came in the Doshbe Ke'eteridam. So the Gemara makes what would I think would be a very reasonable point, which is, look, if he's eating nevela, for him, right, it's kaven de dashbei, right, this is something he enjoys all the time, it's keheter. To him, I don't even see what the issue is. Meaning, McDonald's, Burger King, it's all good, it's all fine. It's keheter, it's like heter. So you're asking him, we need you to shecht, we need you to be careful. To him, it doesn't matter. So Ella Momalavaras Kochavim, so Uchidrav Anan, the Amarav Anan, Amashmo, you saw Momalavaras Kochavim, Motalacho Meshkitasa. So the Gemara says, so we're not talking about a Momal and a Velas, he can't shecht. So this is great. So he can't shecht. But the Bryce has got to be talking about somebody, right? So what's the Bryce talking about? Mumala Avodah Zarah. Oh, he's just, he enjoys doing Avodah Zarah. Now, right, Avodah Zarah is one of the big three. Right. And a Mumala Avodah Zarah, we generally say, in terms of halacha, doesn't enjoy any of the rights and privileges of a Jew. And what we're now suggesting is, well, there is an opinion of Rav Anan, right, which, by the way, we don't follow the halacha, but there is an opinion of Rav Anan, and maybe that's what the Bryce is discussing. According to Rav Anan, someone's a Mumala Avodah Zarah, you can still enjoy his shechita. Okay, so it's an unbelievable point of conclusion that we're going to arrive at today. Tomorrow we're going to talk about it more. Which is what the Gemara now is suggesting is that if we don't adopt Rava's pshat, that the mumar ochel nevelos he can shecht, meaning if you don't accept him, so but maybe we'll go to an alternate pshat, which is he's a mumar avodah zarah, right? He enjoys going to the Buddhist to his Buddhist monk, and then right at the end of the day he'll go and he'll shecht, right? The Gemara says that's maybe what the Bryce is talking about, and according to Rav Anan it works. Now that in of itself needs further clarification. Why in the world should he be allowed to shecht? And the Gemara is going to point out tomorrow, we'll do this, that it is precedented. We're going to see in Tanakh somebody who ate the shechita of a mumar l'avodah zarah, somebody who enjoyed doing avodah zarah, and another Jew ate his shechita. Okay, I don't expect anyone to really know where that is. It's located somewhere in Malachim, right? I'll give it away. It's Yehoshaphat and Achav. Okay, so tomorrow we'll go through the story and we'll see exactly where in Tanakh we have this. Okay, so good. So today, oh, that another story with
Amuma Labadazers, Kofi Bukoratora Kula. I mean, how could you
Correct. It's such a huge chiddush. Okay, so good. So we finished our Kusi discussion today. Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Turns out that they're both of them read the Braisa Lefishita, some according to their respective shita. We talked in general in terms of what mitzvah sekusi follow, what mitzvah sekusi do not follow. The kusi, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, follows Torah Shabbat Peh, but only those things which we know he's committed to. Kevin deyichziku yichziku. And then the Gemara talks about the halach of Rava, mumar l'teavon, a Jew who'll eat non-kosher, can he shecht? Again, not lahachis, not because he's got serious religious issues, but simply because the Yetzer Hara got the best of him. So can he shecht according to Rabbi? Can you check the knife? You have to check the knife, give it to him, and allow him to shecht. And the Gemara suggests that our story of Chametz, our halacha by Chametz, supports Rava. The Gemara suggests the Braisa supports Rava as well, but the Gemara says maybe not. Maybe that last Braisa is not supportive of Rava. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.